Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And everybody said, Amen. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about unwrapping Christmas. Unwrapping Christmas. Put your Bibles down. Join with somebody. Join hands with somebody and let's pray. Father, we love you. We come to this part of every service with a certain fear in our heart as we stand before you, knowing that it is our job and responsibility to deliver the Word of God. Not come this morning, Lord, to entertain, and certainly have not come to impress anyone. I have one desire, Lord, and one hunger, that our hearts would be open to you, that something could happen, something even childlike would happen in this place today. Our hearts, Lord, would be drawn into the sweetness of your presence. And our spirits would be touched by the hand of the Almighty God. Lord, I'm asking you to touch every person that's in this building. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Christmas, like so many other things in life, has accumulated a lot of things. Many things are attached to Christmas that were not part of the original story. From its humble beginnings in a stable with shepherds and the lowing of animals, to what Christmas has become today is definitely a stretch. It has become laden and it has become, in some instances, burdened with many customs, and it has been connected with many rituals and even excesses. Not all of them are wrong and not all of them are evil that participate in the Christmas story. Christmas has certainly inherited a lot of influences from many cultures. Many of the things that we celebrate about this season of the year are attachments that have come because of the story of Christmas in that culture. Santa Claus and the Christmas tree and many of the other things that have become associated with Christmas are actually a result of the influence of the story of Christ being born and its influence on that culture and how they tried to connect their culture to that story. Many of them perhaps even were pagan at one time, but they have taken on a new meaning and they have taken on a new purpose. But in fact, they are simply trying to do what all of us are trying to do this morning, and that is identify with the truth of Christmas, the true story, the true meaning, the true purpose. I had one lady one time that I pastored that argued with me every Christmas about the date of Christmas, that this was not when Christ was born. And I just listened to her very patiently because I didn't know when he was born. I just know that he was born. One scholar said that it has been observed that there is no single month of the year in which there has not been some date ascribed to the nativity. We have tried to find that date, and we settled and we celebrate it on the 25th of December. Whatever the date, don't lose sight of the fact that he did come, and there is a date to celebrate. Amen. And there are people that would argue that there are too many other things attached to it, that there's too much ritual and it's not really about the story anymore. It's more than that. And when you talk about Christmas, certainly there are many images that come to our mind. We think of carols and candy canes, and I know there's a story behind the candy canes, and we think of Christmas trees and holly, and there are stories behind that, and we wish for frost and snow, but very seldom do we ever get to see that. And there are lights and color, and nobody could think of Christmas perhaps without reindeer and Santa Claus, but we're not going to argue about those things this morning. What I want to do is help you and I understand that Christmas has certainly become laden with many things. Not all of them evil and not all of them bad in themselves, not all of them wicked, and certainly not all of them something that would take away from the original story. But we must remember it is the celebration of his birth. What kind of a Christmas does our world need right now? It doesn't need one that has more tinsel or more wrappings. It has need of one that is more simple. There was a child who was born, and he invites us to become like a child. There was in that first Christmas a joy and a festivity. There were angels who sang, and there were shepherds who stood in awe. There was in that very first story an invitation to come and participate in the joy of that occasion. Christmas invites us to be children again. In some ways, it invites us to become as a child again. And it is through the eyes of a child that Christmas most often is enjoyed. And it is most often that is from the eyes of a child that we find the greatest truths about this season. It's not a season to be hating. It's not a season to seek revenge. It's a season of love, and it is a season of giving. Christmas is a mixture of majesty and mundane. It is the mingling of a cradle and a savior. It is a stable and a star. It's the seed of a woman and the Son of God. It is the poor parents of peasant people, and yet it is the royal blood that would save the world. It is shepherd and wise men. The extremes of All of the human condition can be found in the Christmas story. There were the poor and there were the rich. There were the educated and there were the illiterate. And they were all invited. No one was excluded. Some missed it, though, and they missed it for the strangest reason. They did not miss the first Christmas because they intended to miss that. They didn't miss the first Christmas because they purposed to miss him. It was not a studied slight where they heard and knew and they intentionally did this. They were just too busy. Man, they were just too busy. They were cumbered and they were laden with so many things. I think one of the greatest curses of humanity is to be preoccupied with too many things so that we cannot see the main thing. Those that missed him, the innkeeper, I've read the story so many times that it almost has become memory. But even as a child and as an adult, I have heard people recite these verses, and they have indicated by their recitation that the innkeeper purposely said there was no room. I remember participating in a play when I was a young child, and I was Joseph, and I had to go knock on the door of the inn, and I had to hear the innkeeper tell me there was no room in the inn. We don't even hear that in the true story. That may have happened, but it was just a simple matter of busyness and preoccupation, and there was no room. And they missed him, not intentionally, not purposely, not because they hated him, and not because of some prejudice that they had against him. They missed him because they were too busy. Amen. Too busy. I don't know, I guess maybe it's age, but the word that has eat away at me over the last few months about this season of the year and this particular time of year is the word simplicity. I have preached about it. I've tried to talk to you about it because I believe, houses the spirit of what God would want to say to us this morning. The word simple is a beautiful word, and though when we use it in our modern vernacular, we are usually referring to somebody in a derogatory manner. If we say they're simple, then we are thinking of them as being stupid or not having the intelligence or the understanding to know how to get in out of the rain. But the reality is, the word simple is, in its truest sense, one of the most beautiful words in all of the English language. The word simple comes from the word simplex and the Greek word, which means without fold. Without fold. It is not something that has been doubled or folded over. The word duplicity, on the other hand, means a double-folded condition. There is something that has been folded in half, and there is now a crease, and there is the possibility with that fold for something to be hidden or something to be covered, and you could hide much within the folds of duplicity. And then there is the word complexity, which in its literal sense means many-folded condition. That it is not just once, but it is many times it has been folded. And so complexity means that there are nooks and corners and there are places perhaps that things could become hidden and they could become covered. But simplicity is a condition where there are no folds at all. There is no concealment. There's no place to hide anything. It's all out in the open. It's all to be seen by the eye. There's no double dealing with simple things. There's no subterfuge. There's no plot that you have to figure out. There's no storyline that you have to trace to the end. It is without fold. What you see is what you get. And that is so contrary to what our Christmases are. Our Christmases have become so complex. They have become many-folded. And in the many folds, there are hidden many things. There are secret places where people hurt. And there are things about this season of the year that we sometimes come to loathe and we despise. We don't like the crowds. We don't like the attitudes. We don't like the spirit. We don't like all the trappings. We don't like all of the other things. And it has become so complicated. It in reality hides so much. And yet the first story and the original Christmas was just a simple story. There were no folds. What you saw was what you got. There was no hidden agenda. There were no secret meetings. There was no secret handshake. There were nothing hidden in the shadows. When the shepherds came, they found exactly what they were told they would find. They would find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. Whatever the wise men had come to understand about what they would find when they found that star, it came true. They found exactly what they were looking for. There was nothing hid. It would be my desire this morning, if I could do anything, I would want to unwrap Christmas for many of us. I would want to take away the enmeshed, entangled, complicated traps that we catch ourselves up in. You know, this storm that we've gone through, I have come to view it as a blessing in disguise. There's a lot of things about this season of the year that we've not been able to do because of the storm. Houses are messed up still, and you know, you don't want to decorate a house that's half torn up and half all right. And there are just other things about the storm that make you realize that, you know what, I could spend my time perhaps a little better. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying that there's something about the storm that has brought me back to simplicity and things about God that are not hidden and they're not complicated. They're not folded where you have to go through some maze to figure out what God's trying to say. When you read the Christmas story, you understand it clear. He loves me. He loves me enough that he would come to me. He loves me enough he would come to my world. He loves me enough that he would come to my situation. He cares enough about me that he would not leave me alone. He cares enough about me that he would not abandon me in my time of need. It is the story of Christmas. For many people, Christmas is wrapped up in the bandages of bygone hurts. It is wrapped up in the plastic of some kind of so-called sophistication. And for many people, it is wrapped up in the tinsel of materialism. And for others, it is wrapped up in the busyness of getting prepared for it and then missing it when it comes. And for many, it's just wrapped up in the artificial, the confetti, the streamers, the parties, the drinking, the good times. How about us unwrapping Christmas? What would it be like to become a child? Anybody remember a childhood Christmas? Anybody? Can you think back that far? The fondest memories that I have of Christmas, many of them come from my childhood. There was a lot of things about it I didn't understand. There was a lot about it that I had confused. At one time, I did believe there was a Santa Claus. Now, I know that's hard for you to believe. I'm so intelligent this morning, and I'm so grown up. But some of you believed in him, too. I really thought reindeer were going to come to my roof. I know. I know that. I know most of you are so far beyond that, but wouldn't it be great to be a child again? If not in body, but in spirit. I listen to these kids up here sing. You know what struck me so awesome about? I heard two of them in the microphone that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but they didn't give a rip. They were singing. We have become so sophisticated that if we can't do just right, we just don't do it at all. If we don't make it just perfect, we just don't participate at all. What would it be like to rediscover the simplicity of this season? To take away all of the wrappings. It's so complex. There's so many folds to it. You know, you got to, we drive ourselves nuts trying to find the perfect gift. And then we know after we buy it, some of them are not going to be happy. They're going to want to take it back. Why even wrap it? Just bring it out, show it to them, give them the ticket, help them get back to the store. I never did understand that about Christmas. I don't want to know. Don't tell me what you're getting me. I like surprises. But for so many of us, and I say us because I feel like that for me, this not only this season, but life itself has become so folded and so complicated. It's like this handkerchief here. It's got so many creases and folds to it that you try to get to the simplicity. It's hidden. There's so many places that So many parts of it that could house things and hurts and secrets and problems. And when he came, he just came simple. There were no folds. There wasn't anything you had to, you didn't have to go through this particular rite or ritual to get to where he was. He just sends his angels and said, go tell those shepherds that I've come. And the angels come and sing their song, and the shepherds believe what they heard, and they go into town and they find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Wise men studying the heavens, and they see this star and they think there's something unusual about that, and they begin to study the history and the research the world, and they find out that it has something to do with the Messiah, and so they pursue it. And how long? Many historians say that it took them at least 2 years to journey from where they were to where Christ was. But in that 2 year period of time, their desire and their passion never waned. They were so enmeshed and so caught up in that simple star. Not a multitude of them, but one single star. Oh God, help me to unwrap Christmas from all of the artificial and all of the tinsel and all of the plastic and all of the veneer, so that I can get back to what it really is all about. To remember that wise men still seek him, and that he gives the promise of new life, and that we can serve him without fear. Amen. I started to preach to you this morning, but I think I'm going to save it. I feel a message coming on about an inconvenient truth. You see, the inconvenient truth about the Christmas season is found in Luke chapter 1. And it is that we might serve him, not him serve us, but that we might serve him in fear and in holiness and righteousness. There's some things about the truth that have become inconvenient to a lot of people. Holiness is one of those things. But the season and the purpose and the message is that whatever the truth, it is what it is. It's the truth. Amen. It's simple. It's unfolded. It's not complicated. Don't be so busy this season that you miss him. I still believe that he still seeks to come, not just in this season, but every day of our life. He seeks to come. He seeks to invade our world and let us know that he understands my plight. The mood of this season is so wrapped in so many things. But if we could listen and we could hear, we would understand what he said that first Christmas. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Listen to that story. Listen to the beauty of those angels as they sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The warmth of the season and the sweetness of the name of Jesus. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the story of Christmas. It's not complicated. It's simple. And yet in its simplicity, it is so profound that God would have the courage and the guts to wrap himself in the form of a baby and come to you and I. Oh God, help me to unwrap Christmas and get down to the simplicity of what it's really. Let's stand together.